entirely with that, assessment. All right, if you would go in your Bibles to John chapter 21, and we left off where the Lord was interrogating, questioning Peter, starting in verse 15, and it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, last week we covered the reasons why the Lord was asking these questions to Peter. And we talked quite a bit about the importance of loving God, loving Christ more than anyone, more than anything in all the world. And I believe that question is one that merits our attention on a daily basis. Do we really love the Lord? Have we experienced His grace in such a powerful way that it motivates us to love Him, to love His commandments, to walk in His ways, to do His will, to seek to please Him, to honor Him with every fiber of our being? That should be our goal, our desire, our longing. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. In essence, that first and greatest commandment means that we are to love Him supremely with every fiber of our being. And there's nothing more important than that. I guarantee you that if you love the Lord your God with everything that's in you, you'll be a better husband, you'll be a better wife, you'll be a more obedient child. If you put the Lord Jesus first, if you honor Him, if you exalt Him, if you follow Him in everything that you do, and you know what? Your whole life will be directed by the Savior. And He will empower you to live for Him and to glorify Him. And I think that the Lord wanted to hone in on that with Peter, because He was going to use Peter in a remarkable, miraculous way. He was going to use Peter really as the leader. Peter was going to preach one of the most famous sermons where 3,000 souls were saved. And the Lord wanted him to be completely sold out, completely consecrated to the work at hand. Now, each of Peter's answers, and by the third time, Peter was, you can hear it in his voice, he's a little aggravated and chastised. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And it was as if Peter was saying, Lord, come on, what else do I have to do? What else do I have to say? This is the third time I've said it. Yes, I love you. But every one of Peter's answers and confessions of love were attended by an exhortation by the Lord for Peter to prove his love by feeding his lambs and his sheep. I think that there's an interesting principle here. You and I as believers are responsible to prove our love. We're not worthy of it. We can't earn the love of God. That has been freely given to us in Christ. But we are to prove that we love Him. We are to live our lives in such a way that we are actively obeying His commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, "Ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, he spoke directly to Peter with a responsibility as a pastor. Jesus, it's interesting to note that Jesus always refers to his elect as my sheep. Each time he said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Feed my lambs." "Feed my sheep." "Feed my sheep." And even though pastors are charged with the solemn responsibility of feeding God's sheep, pastors should always remember that the sheep do not belong to them, but to Christ. And Christ charges Peter, as well as all of his God-called pastors, to feed the little lambs of the flock, the milk of the Word, as well as the full-grown sheep who require strong meat. I believe that a pastor, if he's doing the work of the ministry properly, he should explain the Word of God that the in a way that the youngest of believers can grasp it. And he also ought to speak in such a way that there ought to be some measure of doctrinal meat, of truth that feeds the soul of older believers. And it's difficult to sometimes strike that balance. But I believe that that's what God-called men are responsible to do. I worry about pastors who are so worried about the way that they present their message or whether or not their message will be popular or well attended on in their church or at Facebook. And I believe my responsibility is to you. One of the best ways I think that a pastor can feed the sheep is by consistently just explaining what the Bible teaches. Opening up the Word of God, reading it, going over a passage, explaining it, and then making practical application of that truth. Just over and over and over again. I think it's important to do expository preaching, where you take a book of the Bible and you go verse by verse all the way through the book. I have been preaching, I've been pastoring since 1986, and I have done this faithfully, preaching through books so that we can gain an understanding of that truth by way of explanation and application. I also believe that if a pastor is going to feed the flock effectively, he has to also incorporate doctrinal truth. People ought to know what they believe, why they believe it. It's why oftentimes I'll go through a book of the Old Testament and a book of the New Testament. And then on Wednesday nights, many, many times, I'll go through some doctrinal series. Sometimes I do that in Sunday school as well. But I believe it's important that you and I be well versed in the doctrines of the Scripture, If you're a member of the Lord's church, you ought to know what the Bible teaches about the local church, what your responsibilities are, what a New Testament church is, how it functions. I believe that every Baptist ought to know the truth about the doctrines of grace, that God's men should be faithful and fearless in preaching those truths. Total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, effectual calling, perseverance, preservation of the saints. I believe that. I've taught it my entire ministry. But you'll notice, that's not my only string on the guitar. You know, some preachers, that's all they want to do is preach every message about the doctrines of grace. Listen, you've got to present a varied diet. If as much as I love, well, I really can't say this. I was going to say, as much as I love steak, if we had it every night, I'd get tired of it. I wouldn't. But the point is, pastors have to teach all of Scripture. It's one of the things that is so vital. Turn over to Acts 20, when Paul the Apostle told the elders of the church at Ephesus, and I believe it's another side of what Jesus was exhorting Peter to do when he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Paul tells the church, the elders of the church at Ephesus, 20, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He is charging them, your responsibility is to preach the whole counsel of God. So, I believe doctrinally, you ought to know church truth. You ought to know the doctrines of grace. You ought to know about the coming of the Lord. I believe that it's imminent, that it could occur at any moment. I believe that Jesus is coming soon, could be tonight. We could hear him say, come up hither, and we'd be with the Lord, raptured out of here. So doctrinal truth is important, but so is practical truth. Practical application, urging believers to live according to the Scriptures in a very practical way, living out the truth of the Word of God. All of these things are necessary in order to feed the flock of God. And there are times when the pastor who is called to preach the whole counsel of God is going to preach something that is going to prick your conscience. It's going to trouble you. It's going to convict you. Because he's preaching the Word of God. And God's Word ought to be convicting. It ought to, when we're contrary to it, we ought to be confronted with the truth when we look into the mirror of God's Word. And Paul exhorted Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God, verse 1, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. You know what? Preachers shouldn't get up and tell a bunch of stories. They ought to preach the word. It says, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's the responsibility. That's what it means to feed the sheep. And he gives another warning. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. God's ministers must preach the truth consistently, accurately, opening up the Word of God, explaining it, applying it. And I'll tell you something else, a true pastor. God help the pastors that don't preach the gospel, that don't faithfully point men, women, boys, and girls to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nearly every message I preach, that is one of the themes. Because I believe what Paul said, I have determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, the Lord Jesus is charging Peter, and by extension, all pastors, if you love me, you got to feed people the truth of the Word of God. You got to feed my elect, my sheep. It's the reason why I have, that the Holy Ghost has appointed you over that particular flock of God to feed them. And in that feeding process, you're also guarding them. You're guarding them from the world, from false teachers, from heresy, and from ungodliness. Now, needless to say, this is a huge job. Even for a guy like me that doesn't pastor a large church. I pray often for pastors of larger churches, because they have a lot more responsibility than I do. But that doesn't mean that my responsibility to preach the word isn't just as vital as theirs. But God knows. I believe that the Lord puts His pastors where He wants them, fits them for that particular work, and that He does nothing by accident, and that He does it on purpose, and He knows what a pastor can take, what he can do, how he can minister. And I think that's the reason why he's put me at Mount Pleasant. I've been here since 1993. And that's a lot of messages that I've preached here. But I believe it's my responsibility to just keep preaching. Keep sharing the Word of God. Feed the little lambs and feed the sheep. And you know, as I thought about this, the task is impossible apart from God's help and grace. Every true minister of Christ is to prove his love for the Lord by feeding and caring for the flock as a faithful under-shepherd. And it requires study, prayer, a compassionate regard for the spiritual needs of the people. And you know, there's a lot of churches right now, a lot of our kind of churches, that are without pastors. Sadly, there aren't a lot of pastors who are fit to preach the gospel in our world today. Many are engaged in entertainment rather than preaching the word. I pray that God will raise up pastors who are more interested in feeding the sheep than fleecing them or harassing them. And I've tried my best through the years to remember who I'm preaching to. People that I love. People that I care about. People, I care about your family. I care about your kids and your grandkids. And I want the best for you. And the best for you is to prepare you for when you have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The greatest words that you could ever hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That ought to be on the heart of every pastor. That I want to prepare the people that I have the privilege of preaching to be ready to meet the Lord. And may God enable pastors to strive for greater usefulness and a desire to do the sheep of Christ good by exercising the gifts of the Christian ministry for their edification. That's how a pastor truly proves their love for Christ and for his flock. You know, Peter never forgot this exhortation given by the Lord. I think it burned in his heart forever. The Spirit inspired him to write this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You know, that doesn't say anything about the size of the pastor, the size of the church that man pastors. His responsibility is to feed the flock, teach the truth, and also live out that truth. Do his best to be an example to the believers. So when Jesus commanded Peter to feed his sheep, he was in essence declaring to Peter and to the rest of the disciples that he had forgiven and restored the erring disciple. Remember, Peter's the one that denied the Lord. And remember, there's that passage where their eyes met. After he had denied him the third time, their eyes met, and it said Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went out and wept bitterly. I believe Peter repented. He asked for forgiveness. And the more I think about this, we ought to marvel at the pardoning grace of our God. Though we may make mistakes and sin against our gracious Lord, the example we have of Peter, who boasted so brashly that he'd never deny, and then the Lord said, "Oh, you're going to do it." And he still was insistent. And he did exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. Yet God forgave him, restored him, and used him mightily. That's a lesson for all of us. If you'll seek the Lord, he will grant you repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation, and he will use you for his honor and for his glory, and that ought to be our desire. But praise God for his restoring grace, for the blessed promise of 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He did that with Peter. And he was going to be used in a mighty way. Last week, we focused on Lovest Thou Me. Tonight, we focused on the responsibility of the pastor, the responsibility of Peter to the sheep. Feed my sheep. Pray for pastors. Pray for God's men. That they'll preach the word. That they'll do it earnestly, fervently, joyfully, systematically, accurately. Opening up the word of God, explaining what it says, and making application. May God raise up pastors who are committed to feeding the sheep on a weekly basis. Let's all stand.